Blog Talk Radio.
Pagans Tonight Radio, the voice of the pagan world, featuring the man with all the questions that some don't want you to hear. Called the most dangerous person you will ever listen to, the ever-curious digital pioneer, Ed the Pagan.
And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you're at in the world today. I want to thank you for joining me tonight on this great evening of radio. Such an odd little thing, how sometimes things will work and not work. And today, thank you. Tonight, we're going to be talking with Mary Hawk about Pagan Pride, Nashville, and also a lot of other things. So she's a very interesting person. So we're going to bring her on shortly. And let me go ahead and get into some news really quick. I want to thank Wild Hunt for covering our return back to the air of Pagan Tonight Radio. And we appreciate that. If you don't know what the Wild Hunt is, it's a long-term blog that has been done every day for years, since 2004. So that's terrific. One of the things up, please feel free. If you want to give us a contact, you can always give us contacts at around anywhere. So without further ado, I am going to bring on Mary, see if she's here. And there we go. Hi, Mary. Are you here?
Hi, Ed. Yes, I am.
Oh, good. Sometimes technology works and sometimes it doesn't, but today it works well. Hi, Mary. I hope that you are... wonder what that sound is, huh? So we want... I want to welcome you to Pagan Tonight Radio, and I guess this is the first time I've actually talked to you on the air. I know you pretty well, but I don't know that I've talked to you previously when I ever did the last run.
I actually appeared on a different show, but I've never been on your show.
Oh, okay. Well, that's terrific.
And thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So let's go ahead and get started on this. So first of all, you are involved with a lot of different things. And one of the things you're involved with is Pagan Pride. Can you tell us a little bit about your upcoming event?
Well, Nashville Pagan Pride Day will be Saturday, October the 2nd. We are coming to you virtually over Zoom, thanks to Ed and CEM Broadcasting. We'll be running from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Central Daylight Time. You can find us on the web at NashvillePaganPrideDay.net. And we have got a great lineup of speakers for you. We have Oberon Zell, and he is going to be presenting to us. Go ahead, Ed.
No, go right ahead. What are you going to say? I would say Oberon again. He's always a pleasure to hear.
He is. We were fortunate to have him last year, and that is the magic of doing an online event, since he is on the West Coast and we're in Nashville. We've got Nashville's own Tish Owen doing spells and how to create them. And we have Reverend Don Lewis, who will be talking about the Infinite Tarot Deck and doing readings. Nashville's own Papa G is going to be exploring the Lenormand Deck, and he has a book coming out on that soon. Lawrence Lerner is going to be talking about Many Faiths, One World, coming out as a pagan. And this is going to be an interactive workshop. Reverend Ravenwolf Greenfield will be talking about mediumship during a pandemic. And then you're going to be presenting about Pagan World for us.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, we're looking forward to having you do that. We've got entertainment by Willis Giroux and Krista Chapman. And we've got readings by Reverend Raven Wolf, Reverend Don Lewis, and Fluffy, who is a very talented reader. So I hope everyone dropped by.
Yeah, I heard that Don was going to be reading. That's kind of odd and unusual.
He rarely reads, but he is gracing us with his presence. He was joking that this would be his one time a year reading. So if you would like a reading from Reverend Don Lewis, join us, and he will be doing readings for about an hour.
All right.
Somewhere between 2 and 3 p.m. We'll have our schedule up on the website shortly.
Well, that's good to have. I mean, so that's a good arrangement.
It is.
So let's go on to step number. What is, so people who are listening, what is Pagan Pride? There's a lot of Pagan Pride events coming up.
There are. Pagan Pride is essentially a way to introduce paganism to people who don't know anything about it. Ideally, it's held in a public location like a park, so we can catch just foot traffic, people who see some sort of festival going on and come by and find out a little bit about us. And so the idea is to present paganism as it is, and hey, we're your next door neighbors, we're your coworkers, we're your friends, and we're not doing what you've seen in internally too many movies that tend to portray pagans and paganism in a very unfortunate light.
And so you've been hosting it in Nashville, Tennessee, which I think a lot of people think of as the Bible Belt, part of the Bible Belt. Not quite the buckle, but kind of deep into it.
Oh, we could be considered the buckle of the Bible Belt. Yes. Lucy Jamison and I have been the coordinators since 2012. And we have been running it first at the local Unitarian Universalist Church, and then we got a bit too big for the grounds there, and we moved out to a local park. And we have had as many as 1,500 people come out. Of course, we've had to go virtual the last 2 years because of the pandemic, but we are hoping to be back out at the park next year.
I do understand that, because I've had actually an event I was going to do in October just recently cancel on me in October, which was the National Association of Broadcasters canceled. And so events are still, you would think, some people think that events are getting back to normal, and others are saying, that it is still a problem. So so it's really hard. So it's really hard to make that judgment call. So I think that being virtual continues to be important for people. And
it
so that's
is.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, and last year, we discovered that we had several people attending virtually who were sharing with us they were no longer up to attending a physical event. So we intend to keep up having some form of a virtual component even when we do get back to Two Rivers Park next year.
I think that's going to be true for a lot of things. I think this is changing. Well, and where it is that talking about. Well, today, folks, I'm still knocking that rust off, aren't I? I can hear it in my voice. It's very interesting. People have been very supportive of coming back to it. I've been away from radio so long, but I do hear the ums. So bear with me, folks. I know some of you are irritated. But I'll get the right back out of my voice. It's a little bit like riding a bicycle. They said, oh, it's just like riding a bicycle. Yeah, they don't tell you how skinny your knees will be at the end of the day. So, yeah, that first couple of days. So, okay, so you've been doing, not only have you done this sort of thing, but you've been working this year on the virtual circle. You've been doing rituals online with a system for quite some time now.
Well, I have been doing the virtual circle with Reverend Pam Maxwell Griffin. We had committed to start in February and do the Sabbaths, the full moons, and the new moons. As a matter of fact, shameless plug, we are doing Maven tomorrow night over Zoom. You can find us on Facebook at the Virtual Circle Pagan World if you would like to join us. And our format is relatively simple. Lady Pam has a marvelous altar she's designed to do online rituals. So she does the physical part, and we read the ritual together. It's been very successful. When we started it, I was wondering how well it would work out, especially over the long term. And I've been really pleased at the number of regular people we have had coming time over time and who are really considering us. This is where they're coming for their rituals and their spirituality. I just got a message from someone who can't make it tomorrow night apologizing for it.
That's interesting that they feel like they would need to apologize for that.
It is, but it is feeling very much like any other ritual circle or coven I've been a part of, where when there's a scheduled ritual and someone just got told you have to work tomorrow night, they feel like they've got to make an apology for not being there.
And I can understand that. There's a lot of people who would basically, it does kind of feel like, this is one of the things I do believe is happening. We does feel like entering these spaces are real spaces, and I think people don't really understand that sometimes. But they're real space.
It is. You can definitely create liminal space online, and I was surprised the first time I attended a virtual ritual, and I felt it. I really was the first, because I was skeptical myself, and I was really surprised that, yes, I feel it. I am in ritual space.
And so, go ahead.
I was just going to say, so when we were offered the opportunity, I was happy to do it, since, you know, for so many of us, it's just not possible to get together right now. And the other interesting thing is how widely spread our regulars are. We have people from the West Coast to the East Coast who are coming.
and that's been another thing. So you're able to form this space that many would consider a ritual space, and it's between the worlds. It's literally between, at least between the cities across the world, and that you do this. And they're relatively short, and people can see them broadcast. You also then broadcast them live onto YouTube and to Facebook pages.
Yes, they are recorded, so they're there. The other piece being, like, the person who contacted me earlier, while she can't do it live with us, she can go find it later, view it, and do it herself with us when she has time.
I think that's an essential thing. So the virtual circle, and you can see it out on your Facebook page and also YouTube, Magic TV, as well as other spaces. But we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be playing a song called, by Bell Book and Canto, Mary Maven.
Take a drink. Conversation intro. A cup of what? Have a seat. Take a pencil. Oh, I just did.
Hey, no spitting on the speaker.
I didn't spit. I didn't, though. That's the important part. There was no excess water from my speaker to the speaker. But we did do a great job of salt.
When does this start?
Almost here. Not yet. Bum, 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 bum.
Comes now the seed to the full of the harvest. Comes now the vine to the ripening bloom. Comes now the earth lifts out to the far west. Come now are we for to show gratitude.
Sing Mary Maven and sing to your brother. Sing to your sister and all of your kin. Sing Mary Maven and sing to each other. Gathered we all, let the harvest begin.
Let us give thanks for the fruits of our labors, orange and yellow and bright apple red. Let us give thanks for our friends and our neighbors. Be still the greatest of hunger the fed.
Sing Mary Maven. Sing to your brother, sing to your sister and all of your kin. Sing Mary Maven and sing to each other. Gathered we all, let the harvest begin.
Blessed be the hand so often unmentioned. Blessed be the deeds that are done out of love. Blessed be the lives and the best of intentions. As is below, then it shall be above.
Sing Mary Maven and sing to your brother. Sing to your sister and all of your kin. Sing Mary Maven and sing to each other. Gathered we all, let the harvest begin. Come now the seed to the full of the harvest. Come now the vine to the ripening bloom. Come now the earth from the south to the far west. Come now are we for to show gratitude. Sing Mary Maven and sing to your brother. Sing to your sister and all of your kin. Sing Mary Maven and sing to each other. Gathered we all, let the harvest begin. Sing Mary Maven and sing to your brother. Sing to your sister and all of your kin. Sing Mary Maven and sing to each other. Gathered we all, let the harvest begin. Gathered we all, let the harvest begin.
And that was Bell Book and Canto with Mary Maven. And I hope you enjoyed it, and I hope you're going to have a good Mary that to it all. And one that is that people who are helping us sponsor, I will be adding sponsors to Pagan Tonight Radio, which, you know, we through the Pagan World Project. So I'm so excited about that fact. And here's one of our sponsors right now.
Pagans Tonight Radio is sponsored by WitchGhoul.com. your anyone, anywhere, anytime online magical education.
And so you can just check it out, 35 free classes. It's basically, they just served their 20th anniversary. We're so excited that they're able to do that. So I'm back here with Mary Hawk, well-known. She's an organizer. She's a priestess, and she serves in many capacities. And one of the capacities I think that people would like to understand that she serves in is a pretty rare one in the pagan community, I think. There's people doing it. It's called prison ministries. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
All right. Well, I became involved with this because I'm also a member of the First Unitarian Universalist Church here in Nashville and the Covenant of Unitarian Universalist Pagans organization there, the Sanctuary of Light. One of the other priestesses there, Lady Alia, has been doing it for some time, and I, after hearing her speak about it, I just felt called to start going into the Tennessee Prison for Women with her. We have not been able to do that in some time because of COVID, but they are beginning to lift restrictions on people coming in, so I'm hoping we'll be able to go back. It is a difficult ministry. They're actually, but we do have pagan brothers and sisters who are incarcerated, and it is important to give them a chance to speak with a priest or priestess and to get together and do ritual. So before the pandemic, I was going to the Tennessee Prison for Women 2 Sundays a month, and we would do ritual and do classes on different pagan topics.
And so
sometimes Lady Alia and I would trade out on that.
And so you would go into women's prisons, not a men's prison.
For me, the issue with the group that met at the men's prison here met at a time when I was working. Lady Alia went with them because she's retired, but I wasn't able to go. And she also went to a prison in another part of the state, which again, since I am not retired, I cannot necessarily go to different parts of the state to attend weekday services. So I'm a little hindered that way at the moment.
Oh, I didn't think that was not the answer I was expecting for some reason. So this idea of prison ministry, I mean, a lot of people, early on in the Carolean tradition, we were approached a lot about prison ministries. And as a whole, we left it to the late Wendy LaJoy, the beloved pastor, did some prison ministry. We've had a few people, but one of the things I think that's so difficult for people to understand is they need to get training. I remember when Patrick McCollum was going through his process. We covered it here on Pagans Tonight Radio. We actually was talking about when he decided not to take his case up to the Supreme Court, and he went through a number of other methods to get in California prison ministry. Is it difficult to do it in Tennessee? Is it something that being pagan that they work against?
Biggest thing is someone has to request in order for us to go into a given prison, is that someone has to go to the chaplain there and say, I am Wiccan, I am pagan, and I am requesting clergy of my own faith. And people are not always willing to do that here in the Bible Belt.
I would think they could be there. I could see that.
because while they absolutely have a legal right to practice their faith, it can be hard in the prison system to do so because of existing prejudice, you know, just among the other prisoners.
I can see that. So you would have to act as an advocate as much as you are as a minister, are you? For them? Or is it just service to them?
We go in and do the services, but we are not, as prison, as volunteers, that is not our role.
Okay. So your role is to provide the religious services and comfort and those things that a minister normally provides their flock. Since we're talking about that sort of thing.
Yes, and we have been doing a letter-writing ministry because of COVID where we are writing to them once or twice a month right now.
Mm-hmm.
And hoping to get back to in-person services shortly.
So that has affected with COVID as well. COVID has affected that as well, keeping you out of the prison?
It has. For quite a while, all in-person volunteering activities were suspended. So,
okay.
Not just religious, but any prison volunteering. So,
I can understand. They're in a very confined area, and they need probably protected because I would believe that prison. I don't know. At one time, I think because when people think of prisons, they always think of these sort of very dark places. It's been trained into, I think, our psyche that prison is a very dark and very dangerous place. And I guess in the time of COVID, that they're basically not able to get away from it. But they would have contact with it. So I can understand that. It's got to be kind of scary. I mean, I would say it would be kind of scary to go into a prison.
Well, as an empath, I have to go in well-shielded, number one. And anytime anyone has expressed interest in prison ministry, that's always my first question. How much of an empath are you, and how good are your shields? Because if you can't shield well, you can't do this. The first time I went in with Lady Alia and I heard the first set of gates clang behind me, that was very disconcerting. I am used to it now, and the two prisons I've been in don't really look like your stock TV prison. They're open green areas that we walk through to get to the rooms where we are meeting with the women. I'm not allowed in the cell block, so I can't speak to those. We have met in libraries or in chapels or in classrooms.
Okay, so more of an institutional building.
It is institutional. It is surrounded by barbed wire. And you do go through series of gates that open and close and clang.
Wow. And so it's interesting. I mean, and more people. So if you guys out there are doing pagan, if you're doing pagan ministry in prisons and you want to talk about it some more, you should contact me at thepagan@gmail.com or whatever platform you're at. You can find me as @thepagan. I wish people were always surprised you can do that, but yes, that's the way the internet is today. @thepagan@gmail, contact me if you want to talk about more about pagan ministry. I think that's an interesting, in-depth thing. We can talk about more of it. But you're in Nashville, so when people think of Nashville, they think of ultimately country music. I know that that's a big thing about the idea that Nashville is a music city. Does that tend to be true for pagans out there? Do you guys tend to be musical out there?
Well, I don't know if we're any more musical here than any other than pagans anywhere else. That's a good question. Off the top of my head, I can't think of any pagan musicians here in Nashville right now.
I would love to see some of those things some of our pagan music put to country music. That would be interesting. I know we already have rappers coming out. I know we've had for a very long time folk music. We've had silk music. We've had with Godsmack, rock and roll music that some of it's been put to. Indigo Prophets did a really good job putting it to a kind of modern beat. But I have not yet heard We All Come to the Goddess with a country accent. So folks out there, there's a challenge for you musicians. You can tell me if there's anything out there quite like that.
I am not aware of any pagan country music. Quite a bit has a folk feel, and of course the roots of modern country music are in folk music.
Mm-hmm.
So you could draw a parallel there.
Yeah, it's very fascinating to me about where our music's coming from. And when you think of Nashville, I've been through Nashville. As people know, I'm a big bus traveler. I don't fly often. I do fly. It's not because I'm afraid of flying. I do enjoy buses. I enjoy transporting across countryside for various reasons. Nashville is one of the big stops I stop at. Almost every bus comes through Nashville for some reason that I travel with. And it's interesting to enter into that city and this sort of like, you can't get too far from the station only because of the fact, you know, when you're transferring buses. But it's one of the places I want to spend more time at because it looks like a very interesting city. And it does seem like, so can you tell us a little bit about the pagan community there? Is it an active one? I know COVID's really kind of stomped on everything, but do you consider it an active community? I mean, you have, I think this show one's out in that area. You have a number of people out in that area, don't you?
We do have a number of people. We would love to have you come and visit with us. We've got Tish Owen, and of course she runs the Pagan Unity Festival not far from here. We have several groups here. We've got several active metaphysical shops here. And I would say before COVID, we had quite a few activities going on that have been unfortunately shut down. We were regularly meeting for a Nashville Pagan Collective where we were just meeting up for socializing, and we were looking at starting some open rituals, which I would like to do again, but we'll have to wait till it's a little safer. But we do have a big community here, and it's very diverse in terms of we've got a lot of Wiccan, like myself, I'm Corellian. Tish Owen is a different strain of Wiccan. We've got quite a few root workers. We have quite a few heathens. So we do have a very interesting, diverse community here. And we do like to get together and do things when it is safe to do so.
And that makes sense. And then hopefully that'll be soon. For those, just as a side note, For those of you going to Salem, as people know, I was originally planning to go to Salem for October. I do not think that's going to happen. Check out what's happening in Salem right now before you make that decision. It has been a very surprising year. Can you tell us a little bit more about your own personal practices? You know, people always ask, you know, you do a lot of leadership, and leadership is a responsibility, not a reward, people. I'm dealing with that as well. As next week, we're going to be covering the youth of our community, some of the young leaders under 40 who are emerging out as powerful voices out there today. And so can you tell us a little bit about your practices?
My personal spiritual practice, well, that starts out with a morning meditation, getting my chakras in order for the day. Sometimes reciting the Karelian Peace Prayer. I should probably do it every day, although I don't. I then light candles and incense to my patron deities on my altar. That is what I do in the morning. I'm burning candles currently for the health of my family. Well, I'm fortunate to work from home. There are members of my family who are going out to work, and my grandchildren are going out to school and all this, so I'm very concerned about them. And so that is my daily practice, plus sitting down and meditating some in the evening about whatever seems to be on my mind. And my spiritual practice tends to be quiet and not something very many people see, I guess, unless I am leading ritual.
Okay. And so,
and
you
I
do
will
lead
just
ritual.
Add, it's now thundering here. So I don't
is
think
it?
You'll lose me, but you might.
Oh. So it has been, that's very interesting. So tomorrow night you're doing the virtual circle, so check that out. So you can see it and see some of those practices. Pagan Pride is, when is Pagan Pride? It's October 2nd, right?
Saturday, October 2nd. We will be on from 9 a.m. to 7 p.m. Central Time. And we will be by Zoom all day, so stop by and check us out. Even if you can't hang out all day, drop in when you can. Come on by and get a spell.
It's a very interesting way of phrasing it.
Well, I am a Southern witch.
Yeah. I've been listening to a lot lately to the great show Bewitched, the infamous one. And they use that line occasionally. I've been listening to a lot of The Witch lately, so it's very interesting. For those who don't know, I'd love to do a show on that sometime, but that's another story. So let me go ahead and get
that would be an interesting show.
It is. I'm a big fan of Bewitched, and a lot of people see it differently in different ways, but I always tell people it starts out where Samantha and Darren have gotten married. She's hidden her power, her authority in the world. And the show starts out black and white with her being very much the idea of a modern wife, and the gimmick of it being that she's a witch and she has to hide that. To by the very end of it, it's in full technicolor and she's queen of the witches out of Salem. I've always thought that was a very fascinating discussion about how that arc went. And it went through, I think it was simultaneous. It was one that I know a lot of witches, older, a little bit older than me, about my age, who were very influenced by that. And when I mentioned that idea of going from very much loss of power, black and white, full color witch queen. But usually they say, yeah, but Darren never really liked it. Well, no, he did not. But he did accept it as much as he had to. Yeah, I think it's a very fascinating show. I think and cinema in general is very fascinating. And I think Nashville, because, you know, Nashville is the country, you know, we talk about it, is one of those cities where I think people are used to the idea of it being not an ordinary city, though it just is in some ways, but being that center of that country music world. You know, you have your great halls, you have, when we think of Nashville, we tend to think of the musical capital. So, now do you have something there, maybe it's somewhere else, do you have something called the Parthenon? Is that in Nashville?
Oh, yes, we have.
Okay, let's talk about that.
Parthenon here.
Okay.
It was built for Nashville Centennial, I believe. I'd have to check my facts on that. But it's in Centennial Park. It is a replica of the Parthenon in Athens. There is an incredible statue of Athena in there. In fact, a coven that my friend Lucy and I have formed, we picked Athena as our patron because, well, we're in Nashville. Who else are we going to pick? I mean, we have a giant statue of her right here, for heaven's sake.
I guess that makes some sense. I mean, that does make sense that God follows form. And so we are, so that makes sense. And that people, and that's
and
a very local energy.
And Athena is there. I mean, it is a tourist attraction, okay? You go there, you pay to get in, you stand, and, you know, there are tourists there just, you know, snapping pictures, checking off the list of things you do in Nashville. But at the same time, she's there.
Have people done rituals there?
It is, I'm not aware of any. It is run not by Metro Parks, but by a private board, and I've looked into what it would take financially to rent the place out, and it's prohibitive. Because I really would have loved to have done something with Pagan Pride Day there, and right now it's not feasible.
Oh, I can imagine one of those places. I've seen rent for like five figures a lot of times.
Yes. It was four figures at least to rent the place. If I recall correctly, it was several years ago when we looked into that, and we're like, nope, someone's going to hit the lottery before we can do anything in there.
And so, yeah, so if you kind of are in Nashville and you're a pagan and you hit the lottery, we need to do it at the Parthenon. So one last thing.
Yes.
I think this has been a very interesting romp through your history and the history of Nashville, Pagan Pride, October 2nd. Check it out. You're also doing the virtual circle, which meets tomorrow night. And I can hear that thunder in the background. And so one last thing is that you've been immortalized as a tarot card.
Yes,
recently.
I have.
That must be an interesting thing.
It is. It was during the Kickstarter for Reverend Don Lewis's Infinity Deck, or Infinite Tarot Deck. I want to say Infinity Deck because it has the infinity symbol on the back. And one of the options was, on the Kickstarter, was to have your own personal tarot card done. And I decided to do that, and I always come up in a tarot reading as the Queen of Swords, always. So I decided to have him draw me in my favorite hat as the Queen of Swords, and the card is absolutely beautiful. I am totally thrilled with it. I have got the electronic proof, and I cannot wait to get the real card, and I'm going to shuffle it in my deck and read with it, and I can't wait to have it just pop up while I'm reading for someone, and I'm just not going to say anything at all and let them look at me and look at the card and look at me and look at the card.
And that'll be very interesting and everything else. And
yeah.
So there it is. So anything else we should cover? Or I think we've done a really good job today. We've talked today with Mary Hawk. We've been talking about Pagan Pride out in Nashville and the challenges of it being during the period of COVID and the desire so desperately to return to normal space and do physical events, which we are hopeful for next year. People, yes,
yeah.
I know it sounds silly, but let's see if we can get this virus under control. I mean, it's beyond my mortal ability to do so, but let's try to do everything we can. So there he is. And we've also talked about the virtual circle, which Reverend Mary's been doing so, and Pagan and her prison ministry out there. So the last question I ask, and it's a very important one for me, is how can we support you in what you're doing? What is it that you could really use support in, and what it is that you do?
Well, come to Pagan Pride Day. That's the biggest thing you can do right now. And
there you go.
See us tomorrow night in the virtual circle, and we also have rituals put up for Samhain and our upcoming full moon and new moons for October. So please come check us out.
And excellent. And so there you go. That's what it is. Well, I want to thank you for joining me today. I think that it has been a great show. I hope that everybody out and join it, and you'll join us again tomorrow night when we're going to talk more about the pagan world, the pagan community, and all those things that are in it. And we're going to exit with Dom the Bard's Maven.
these